This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
We now have a time of scripture reading, and the passage for today is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. And Caris will be coming to read for us.
Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, from verse 1 to verse 7. If you are using the church Bible, that will be on page 673. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. A dream comes when there are many cares, and many words mark the speech of a fool. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger, "My vow was a mistake." Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, fear God. This is the word of the God.
Let me now invite Anne for the sermon.
Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to listen and obey what you say as we read your word and as we hear your word. Have mercy on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you know, the biggest religion in Vietnam is Buddhism. There are many temples there. Interestingly, all the temples, they are located in the most beautiful spots in Vietnam. I've been to many of them because I had to accompany my friends there for view seeing. My impression is the dynamic of the inner part of the temple is totally different from the outside. On the outside, people can talk, can laugh, they can even make jokes to each other. But the moment when they step inside a temple, that they become totally different. They are silent. They show certain respect. When I think about it, as you do, I ask ChatGPT, why do people behave differently when they step inside a Buddha temple? It answers, they behave differently inside a temple because they think a temple is not just a building. A temple represents the presence of Buddha somehow, and also the path of enlightenment. Thus, they must have reverence, mindfulness, and humility when they step inside a temple. Today's passage is also about a temple, but it's not any kind of temple we've seen today. It is the true temple of God in the Old Testament times, the Jerusalem temple. The question for us is, imagine when we enter a temple or the Jerusalem temple and God is there. How different is our attitude? This passage will give us answer for this question. Before we dive into this passage, let us get some context of the book of Ecclesiastes. It is a book of wisdom. It shows in this fallen world everything is hevel. That means things are insubstantial in their essence and in their effects. They have no weightiness and they are temporary in their essence. They can't change things that already exist in this world. So, if everything is hevel, how can we navigate life in this world? The answer is, we need wisdom. It's the wisdom from God. This passage also gives us wisdom. It's a wisdom in God's presence or in God's temple. My first point is God's presence. Let us look at verse 1. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Clearly, this passage is in the context of the temple. In order to understand this passage, we need to understand the significance of the temple, Jerusalem temple. In the Old Testament, the phrase "go to the house of God" is a scary phrase. It's a serious business. It's nothing like going to church nowadays. Jerusalem temple is built by King Solomon around 960 BC. And you know what happened after its dedication. Chronicles tells us, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the temple, filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord. All the Jews know that God is in the temple. It is where God dwells among his people. It is a very scary place because the glory of the Lord is in the temple, or the presence of God is in the temple. So, go to the temple is a serious thing. That's why when Isaiah found himself in the temple, Jerusalem temple, and God's presence is there, he said, "Woe to me, I am finished, because I am standing in front of the Lord Almighty. My life is over because I'm a sinner." That's why the author tells us, be careful, guard your steps when you go to the temple of God, because God is there and he will punish you if you do foolish things in his presence. Therefore, the temple is where God's presence is. Now, where is the temple today? The truth is, we can't access to Jerusalem temple anymore. It's gone. It was destroyed by Roman Empire in 70 AD. What does that mean to us? Does it mean that we can't access to the temple or to God's presence anymore? Thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of the temple of God. Jesus is where God dwells among the people. He is the temple of God. The Jerusalem temple is a type of what was come later, that is Jesus. Therefore, Jesus is God's presence with us. Now, as believers, in Jesus, we also in God's presence. Individually, we are in God's presence through the Holy Spirit. That's our reality. That's why Paul says, your bodies are the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells. Therefore, a church building is just a building. It is not the temple. We don't treat it as it's a sacred place. But in Jesus, we Christians are the temple of God. Therefore, as Christians who are in Jesus, this passage becomes a lot more serious to us nowadays or today. In the Old Testament, people hear this word from the author. They apply it only when they go to the house of God or the temple of God. However, for us who are always in God's presence, because we are the temple of God, God's presence is with us, we must guard our steps, not just when we go to Jerusalem temple, but everywhere and every moment in our life. We need to be careful because God's presence is with us. Let us move to the second point. Listen. The author, after telling us to guide our steps as we go to Jerusalem temple, he then explains what it means to guard our steps. It is about our attitude. Let's look at verse 1. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. It's the attitude to say to God, dear God, please speak. Whatever you say, I will obey. It's got more to do with actions than with just hearing. The author is preparing us for what is coming. He wants us to have an attitude of a listener, open mind and open heart to hear God's word and obey it. There are two aspects of listening and obeying, with our words and with our deeds. But interestingly, from verse 2 onwards, we only hear about what we say or our words. There's nothing about what we do. Why? The author is wiser than us all. He has the wisdom. He knows that listening to God has more to do with what we say than what we do, especially in the context of the temple. Because it's easier to say wrong thing than to do wrong. The number of times I've said wrong things is far greater than the times I've done wrong. To lie is easier than to steal. To gossip is easier than to kill people. That's why the author only focuses on what we say rather than what we do. Think before opening your mouth. Let's look at verse 2 to 3. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. A dream comes when there are many cares, and many words mark the speech of a fool. The author is telling us, think before you speak. Don't be haste to speak. The word before God shows that this is still in the temple context. Then the author also gives us reasons for to be slow to speak before God. Let's look at verse 2. Don't be quick with your mouth. Don't be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. Why? Because God is in heaven and you are on earth. So the first reason is, do not quick to speak because God is in heaven and we are on earth. In other words, there is a gap between God and us as human beings. This gap lies the gap between heaven and earth. God is in heaven and we are on earth. Our knowledge, our understanding, comparing to God, is like the gap between heaven and earth. Over the years, I've realized that I talk a lot when I talk to my students in Vietnam about theology. But when I come to ETCA, when I talk to my lecturers, I realize I didn't talk much at all, especially in terms of theology. I don't dare to say much, actually, because comparing to my lecturers, I'm nobody. I'm just a fool. And they know a lot more than me. God is all-knowing. He knows thoroughly everything we say, and he will judge us. Therefore, don't be quick to speak anything before God. There is also another reason. Let's look at verse 3. If you look at ESV version, there is a word in the beginning of verse 3. The word is because or for. That means verse 3 is a reason for us to not be quick to speak. Do not be quick to speak because a dream comes when there are many cares, and many words mock the speech of a fool. The word cares here could also mean works or businesses. It simply says, if we have too much work to do during the day, too much things to do, naturally the result is we have a dream at night. Similarly, if we talk too much, the natural consequences is speech of a fool. We will make mistake and sin in our words if we speak too much. Therefore, let your words be few. From my experience, there are two situations that I am very quick to speak. Firstly, when I'm angry. A few years ago, I was in charge of a sport event in student ministry. It didn't go well at all. When the time comes, the football match begins. There is no ball. Yeah, after a few minutes, everyone started complaining. And I started scolding one of my students who worked with me. And even now, when I remember that incident, I still regret what I said to that day. I'm also very quick to speak when I'm too high or too happy. Not long ago, I hung out with my friends. After dinner, all of us, we are very happy, as you do. We start talking about everything, anything. And at the point, a topic turns to a person that we all know. What needs to happen, happened. We talked about how stupid, how incapable the person is. And at the end of the day, on the way home, I had to ask God for forgiveness because of what I said. Therefore, think before open your mouth, because God is in heaven and we are on earth, and because many words mock the speech of a fool. In the Old Testament times, this passage only applies when the people go to the temple of God. However, as we've seen earlier, in Jesus Christ, We are the temple of God, and we are in God's presence everywhere at all time. Therefore, we must be careful with our words, not just when we go to Sunday service, but everywhere and at all time. My final point, keep your promises. In the past, the Jews go to the temple and make a vow to God. The author exhorts us, when we make a vow to God, we must fulfill it. And if we know that, we can't fulfill our vow, so don't make one. Let's look at verse 4. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. Now, what does it mean to make a vow to God? In the Old Testament time, a vow is a voluntary promise to God. One, we will go to the temple, and then we will say, I vow that I will offer sacrifice or a particular service to God. This action often involves the priests because it relates to offering sacrifices. For example, a person makes a vow to offer a lamb to God at the end of the month. But one possibility is that after making a vow, he might not pay it because he could regret what he vowed. It's a bit too much. I should vow less than that. Or it could just be it's beyond his capacity to pay the vow. Maybe the lamb belongs to his parents, and his parents doesn't allow him to have the lamb to offer to God. That means he can't fulfill his vow. For whatever reason it is, this passage warns us, fulfill your vow to God. Making a vow to God is a serious thing because God is the one who keeps you accountable. And he has no pleasure in fools. Therefore, do not be a fool, but fulfill your vow. Even though a vow to God is a very serious thing and scary thing, but it's voluntary. So if you know that, you can't make one. So there is a better way to do it. Just don't make a vow to God. Why would you do that? Let's look at verse 5 to 6. It's better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger, my vow was a mistake. Why would God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? There is a reason for following this exhortation of the author, because God will judge those who do not fulfill their vows. The phrase, therefore you must fulfill your vow to God, otherwise he will be angry and punish you. The phrase, destroy the work of your hands, in verse 6, is in the temple context. And it is within the Israelite covenant. Destroy the work of your hand is God's judgment on Israel people, for breaking God's law or God's covenant. In the past, Israel, they build cities, they build houses, they grow crops. But when they sin against God, God punished them. And God destroyed the work of their hands. That means God used the enemies to destroy their cities or natural disaster to destroy their houses and their crops. And this is a very serious thing because without cities, they will be killed by the enemies. No protection. With their houses and food, they are not able to live. And ultimately, God's judgment points toward to the eternal judgment in hell. Therefore, because God will be angry and punish you if you do not keep your vow to God, so fulfill your vow to God. And if you know you can't, so don't make one. Now, how does making a vow to God look like for us today? As we've seen in Jesus, we Christians are in God's presence everywhere and at all times. Because of that, every promise that we make, God is involved. Because we make it in God's presence. It's like when I make a promise to my girlfriend, when just two of us together. It's totally different from when I make a promise to my girlfriend when her parents is there. Because now the parents keep me accountable. Similarly, in God's presence, any promises we make, ultimately, they are to God. Because God is involved. He is the witness. And He is the one who will keep us accountable. Therefore, for Christians, making promises are a serious business. This passage tells us God is not happy with fool. Instead, He will be angry and He will punish those who don't keep their promises. I have a friend. He's a really, really good man. I admire him. But he told me, it's not easy to keep my word, especially to my daughter. He has a young daughter. I told my daughter that, finish your dinner, then I'll give you sweet. After she finished her dinner, it's really hard to follow through. The Apostle James takes it even further. He said, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth, but by anything else. All you need is a symbol, yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. All we need is a symbol, yes or no. We keep our word. Otherwise, we will be condemned. In conclusion, this passage gives us wisdom. This wisdom is the wisdom when we are in God's presence. As Christians in Jesus, we are in God's presence everywhere and at all time. Therefore, firstly, we need to think before opening our mouth. And we need to keep our promises. Because God is in heaven and we are on earth. And many words will mark the speech of a fool. And also, God will judge us if we don't keep our words. However, we all know that doing this is much harder than saying it. We all stumble in this area. We are not perfect. But thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ, because in Him we also have forgiveness. Therefore, when we know that we stumble or we sin in our words, we go to God in Jesus' name. We confess our sins and our wrongdoing, and in Jesus, God forgive us. God also gave us strength so that we can keep living. We keep be careful with our words, and we keep our promises every day by His grace. Dear friends, if you are not Christian today and you hear this, I hope you will experience God's presence in your life. I hope you know that Jesus died for your sin and believe it. Because we all sin. We all not be careful with our words. and we have broken a lot of promises. We need forgiveness from God. Otherwise, one day, God will judge you. That is terrible. But you believe in Jesus, you will be forgiven, and you will have strength to keep living, as this passage says. So please reach out to any church members or pastors to chat more if you are interested. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please remind us that in Jesus, we are in God's presence, in your presence, by your Holy Spirit. Help us to be careful with what we say and to be careful with our promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother An, for teaching and encouraging us from the Word of God. And I was told that with that sermon, he finished his final assignment for ETCA. And in fact, his turn is now to dish out the assignment for you. So Brother Anna has left us with three questions for discussion and careful thinking. First one is, as Christians in Jesus, we are always in God's presence. How does this help us apply this passage? Question two, what makes it hard to control what we say? Question three, what makes it hard to keep our promises? Right, we'll not be having time to discuss because we've got Holy Communion coming up. But as we just heard from Anne, we should think before we open our mouth. So let's think carefully through these questions and discuss over lunch or the coming week. Right, please take a picture of these questions.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.